You may be seated. This month we're talking about stewardship, but in a larger context than just giving our time, our treasures, and talent, which is a part of it, but we want to look at it through a broader lens. The scripture says that we have been called, as Deirdre was sharing, that we've been called to belong to Jesus Christ. Every part of us, everything we have and all that we are, we've been called to belong to Jesus Christ. And while we can look at that truth as a duty, we can look at that truth as an obligation, using a different lens from the scriptures, we see something differently, something much different. We see what a privilege it is, what a privilege it is to belong to Jesus Christ. We see that it is a tremendous gift that we've been given to be called to belong to Jesus Christ. And so our series is titled Not Stewardship. Our series of messages this month, the series is titled The Blessings of Belonging. Yeah. The Blessings of Belonging. And so today's message is titled He's Doing It.
Yes, he is.
He's doing it. George, he's doing it, man. That's how you say it. He's doing it, sister.
Amen.
You see, there's won't he do it? But what we're talking about, he's doing it.
Yes.
He's doing it. Present tense. That's what we're looking at this morning. And our text is Psalm 131. If you'll turn there with me, Psalm 131, a beautiful psalm by David. Psalm 131. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I've calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forever. Amen. You know, this is such a prayer of surrender. This is a prayer of yieldedness. David was a mighty warrior. And he was an inspiring leader of men. But when it came to his relationship with the Lord, he was like a child. He was like a child. He's saying, I'm not haughty. I'm carefree. I'm content. And I'm dependent. You see, a child doesn't like being weaned. It's not fun being weaned. But that's because the child knows nothing about fried chicken. That's why he or she doesn't want to be weaned. If she only knew, or if he only knew how we were going to be feasting at the Black History Celebration, they'd be asking, Mama, wean me quick. They don't know about fried chicken. They don't know about healthy foods, if that's your thing. They don't know about the role that those foods play in building the body and preparing the body to be able to experience life more fully. Put your hope in the Lord, it says. When? Now. How long? Forevermore. which means now and going forward. How can we enter such a place of serenity as David describes where he was? How can we enter that place of just peacefulness? There's so much noise, and life is so hectic, and responsibility is so burdensome, and there's angst everywhere. And how can you enter this enclave of serenity where you're like a weaned child resting against its mother? If you're taking notes, the main idea that I want to convey this morning is God is lovingly and faithfully involved in my life right now. God is lovingly and faithfully involved in my life right now. And it is when we realize this, when we internalize this, it moves us to a place of serenity. It moves us to a place of peace. It moves us to a place of security. The weaning process is not fun because we want what we want, and we want what we're used to. What we're used to is familiar. What we're used to is comforting, even in its discomfort. At least it's something we know. But God wants to take us to a place that is deeper and richer and more full of life, just like a child that's weaned now being prepared for life in its full. So the Lord wants to take us to a place from where we are to places beyond that are even richer than we could even imagine. That's his plan for us, not just to tread water until he comes back, but to advance in life and to experience to the full with him. And I'm going to explain what that means in just a moment. But if you're taking notes, the main idea and how we get there is by understanding that God is lovingly and faithfully involved in my life right now. Now, if you're like me, sometimes you can drift into this kind of thinking. I pray and God acts. Right? I pray and God acts. And if I don't pray, God won't act. Or if I stop praying, God will stop acting. That God's acting is dependent upon my praying. And in essence, I'm the one generating this spiritual life. So I'm the hamster on the wheel, churning the generator, creating the spiritual activity and life and growth in my life. I pray. God acts. I stop praying, God stops acting. Now, the truth of the matter is God is active in our lives whether we pray or not. God is active, and what did he say? Lovingly and faithfully involved in your life and my life right now whether we pray or not. I want to say that once more. Because we drift. Yes. You see, we don't step into that place. We drift to that place. I pray, God acts. I stop praying, God stops acting. If I don't pray, he won't act. But the main idea, God is lovingly and faithfully involved in my life right now. Now, don't get me wrong. Prayer influences him. Don't get me wrong. God often grants our prayer requests. In fact, the scripture says, you have not because you ask not. So prayer definitely is a part of God acting on our behalf. Prayer helps us to see his work. One of the big benefits of prayer is that it opens our eyes to see what God is doing. But he's lovingly and faithfully involved in our lives, not because we pray, but because we belong to him. Because we belong to him. And because he loves us. And it's really quite simple, if you think about it, it's really quite simple to understand. Do you only act on behalf of your kids when they ask you for something? See, that just brings it home. Do you only act when your kid asks you for something? How many things do you do for them that they haven't even considered asking you for? They don't even know what you're doing. In fact, some of the stuff you're doing, they wish you weren't doing. But you know that it's good for them. You don't know what I'm doing now. My father used to pull out his belt and say, "This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you." I never believed that. But not just punitive things, the loving things that you do, the things you do that go out of your way, and they'll never, ever, ever know. The sacrifices that you made for them, they'll never, ever know how they got to be where they are. Only faint glimpses and faint memories, vague little abstractions. See, that's why it's right for us to give thanks at all times and in everything. Because God is fully involved in our lives right now in ways beyond our recognition and our comprehension. Now, this week, I have been haunted by this idea of He's doing it. It has not let me go. It's been a blessing to me, but it's also been hounding me. And so I just wanted to hound you with it. Because this is such a glorious idea that He's doing it. If you read this past week's View from My Place, I made that the subject. And I want you to turn in your bulletins to it, because I want to read it. And then I want to expand upon that in the moments that I have remaining. But if you'll turn in your bulletin to the next to the last page, I believe it is, next to the notes page, the View from My Place, He's doing it. And you can see from the opening line, like I said, it wouldn't let me go. This really is the view from my place today. I woke this morning with a new phrase percolating in my heart. He's doing it. He is the Lord, and it is what He's promised. He is doing what He promised, and He's doing it right now as you read these words. He's loving me passionately, endlessly, and unimaginably. He's providing for me in ways beyond my awareness or comprehension. He's living His life in me and sharing His life with me. He's working in me, through me, and for me. He's being attentive to me because He neither slumbers nor sleeps and never takes a day off. He's doing it. He's doing it right now. He's protecting me from the evil one, because if the evil one could fully have his way, we don't even need to finish the sentence. And He's protecting me from myself, because if I could fully have my own way, we don't need to finish the sentence. He's guiding me, even though I may be feeling bewildered. He's inviting me. He's beckoning me and drawing me to a richer knowledge of Himself. He's doing it. He's doing it right now. As one gospel song reminds us, He is forever faithful towards me. And as another gospel song that we just heard puts it, I could go on and on and on about your words. But by now, you certainly get the point. From your own experience, you could no doubt add to this list, and that would be an excellent faith-nurturing exercise, because then you can pause at any time during the day and offer thanks to the Lord for anything on your list that He's doing right now. I myself printed a page of small labels with He's doing it on them and began sticking them in strategic places as reminders around the house, and Laverne's been seeing them and saying, "What's that? What's that on the light switch?" Not in places that would be an eyesore, not on the front window and stuff like that, no. Just strategic little places and reminding me that He's doing it. He's doing it. He's doing it now, and He'll never stop doing it. You know, there is precedent for my little label exercise, folks, you know, lest y'all think I've gone completely mad. In Deuteronomy, it says, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. I haven't gone that far. So I'm sticking with labels for now. But there is benefit in writing things because it helps, obviously, the retention. And we all know this. There's no requirement under the new covenant that we write things down. But because the Holy Spirit living inside of us, as we saw under the new covenant, he says, I'm going to write them on your heart. Still, from a human standpoint, just the memory benefit of writing things down is a blessing. So this pursuing this idea of he's doing it has done several things for me. It's made me more aware of the truth of what's going on in my life and not just my circumstances. See, your circumstances can be the truth unless you have a higher truth to put it in context. And so knowing that he's doing it and he's doing it right now has helped me to become more aware of the truth as God sees the truth. The second thing it's done is it made me more thankful. When I see that he's doing it, it makes me say, thank you, Lord, for doing it. I found myself being more thankful. It's made me more hopeful for others. When I'm praying for others, I realize he's doing it in their life. He's doing it in their life. When I pray for Brother Edgar, when I pray for Norma, when I pray for Flamina, when I pray for all y'all, in my mind, I am thankful to God because I realize he's doing it in your life. That my prayers for you are not generating his goodness. My prayers are not making it happen. He's doing it. I can be part of that process, but he's the one that's doing it. So what is he doing? I read through some of these, but I want to take just a few moments to sort of expand on a few of them because they went by so quickly. But you know, this thing that we have with Jesus is not just a guarantee of heaven. What we have is eternal life. Hallelujah. And eternal life includes heaven, but it starts here on earth. Jesus said in John 6 that if you believe in me, you've crossed out of death into life and you have eternal life. And this idea of knowing what he's doing right now helps us to experience more fully the abundant life that Jesus said he came to give us. It's about the quality of the life we're living. It's not about the stuff. He says, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. I'm coming to give you a quality of life that is bigger than the stuff and that is so rich that you don't even need the stuff at times. So what is he doing? First, as I said, he's loving you passionately. He's loving you endlessly and unimaginably with a love that, as Deirdre read again in Romans 8, it says it is an inseparable love. He's doing it. He's doing it right now as you sit there. He's providing for you in ways beyond your awareness or comprehension, starting with keeping you alive. Yes. Keeping you alive. And for most of us, by giving us far more than we need to sustain our lives. Far more than we need. There's stuff we want. A lot of stuff we think we need, but the truth of the matter is, for most of us, he is sustaining us far beyond what we need. He's being attentive to you right now, Miss Harrietta. He is being attentive to you because Psalm 121 says he neither slumbers nor sleeps, and he never takes a day off. And you know the familiar verse that says the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't worry. He says, even before a word is on your tongue, he knows it all together. He knows your thoughts from afar. So he is right now, doing it right now, giving you his affectionate attention. Right now, He's viewing you in his righteousness, Falami. He's viewing you in his righteousness, not through your performance. You might have had a great week. There were some great things that happened this week. And there were some things that were not so great that happened this week. There were some decisions that you might have made that made you say, hallelujah. There might have been other decisions that you made and said, oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. But whatever has been your performance level, he is viewing you through his righteousness right now. There is never a time when you're on the outs with him. Right now, he's looking at you with eyes of love because of the righteousness of Christ. He's protecting you, Janice, from the evil one. Because if the evil one had his way, talk about havoc. But the Lord will protect you from all evil. Greater is the one who is in you right now than the one who is in the world. You have no idea what the evil one's been up to. He wants to destroy. He wants to kill. The fact that you haven't been killed or destroyed is because God, in his grace, has protected you. He's doing it. He's doing it right now. He's protecting you from yourself. Jeannie, he's protecting you from yourself. There's stuff you want to do. I know. There's stuff I want to do. There's stuff I want to have. There's stuff I want different. And if I could have my way, I would just wave my magic wand and make a huge mess. But he's protecting me, and he's protecting you from yourself. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. He's redeeming every step and misstep, Gina. Every step and misstep. The scripture says he causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God. All things. So you thought you were going this way, and you thought this was a secure place, but you took a step, and wow, it messed up. Well, you know what he did? He took that step, and he redeemed it and said, this is where you are now. Because that's what he does. And he's doing it. He's doing it right now. He's guiding you. Even though you may be feeling bewildered or confused, Neola, you may be trying to make a decision and you don't know which way to go. And you're praying and you're asking God to give you guidance. And as Brother Bill would say, heaven is silent. But you know what he's doing? He's saying, you choose. And whatever you choose, I'm going to be with you. You see, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to give you a map. I'm going to give you my hand. And I'm going to be with you wherever you go. And if I'm with you wherever you go, everything's going to be okay because I am with you. You see, when the Lord told the disciples to go into all the world and make disciples, he didn't give them a plan. He just said, go. Wait a minute, Lord. How in the world? Where do we start? You know, or how do we do this? Give us the plan. Give us the blueprint. And he said, nope, go. And lo, I am with you. There's the plan. There's the guidance. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So if you sail across the sea, I'm with you. If you stay here, I'm with you. And if there are more specific directions, I will give them to you. And he did in Acts 1:8. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. He's doing it. He's doing it now. He's making us a part of what he's up to today. You know, God has a life, as I've said before. We need to remember this. God has a life. He's not just sitting up there watching our lives. He's got a life. He's doing stuff. He had a life before we came on the scene. He's got a life. And he's living that life. And he has graciously made us a part of what he's up to today. He's given each one of us, every one of us in this room, every person who's a part of his body, he's given us a role. He's given us a role in what he calls his grand production called eternal life. Each one of us. He's building his church. According to Ephesians 1, he's working all things after the counsel of his will. Let me make a political statement. Don't think for 1 minute that our current state of politics isn't demonically influenced. I'm just talking about the whole thing. I'm not talking about no one person. I'm not talking about no one party. I'm saying the whole mess is demonically influenced. This is not by mistake or by mishap. There is a sinister plan that is afoot, and it is demonically inspired. And part of its purpose is to undermine and divide the church of Jesus Christ. You got confusion and chaos amongst Democrats. You got lockstep, unquestioning fealty with Republicans. But Jesus is neither a Democrat nor a Republican. He's better than that. He's Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord. And he says he is working everything, even the mess, even the chaos, even the confusion, the consternation, the stuff that makes you want to pull whatever hair you might have out, because I can't pull my hair out. That ship has sailed. But you know what he's doing? And he's doing right now, and he's doing it before the election in November. The election in November has nothing to do with what he's doing. Because what he's doing right now, he's going to be doing, if he doesn't come back, he's going to be doing in November. And you know what it says he's doing? He's working all things after the counsel of his will. All things. We are not big enough, strong enough, tough enough, smart enough, present enough to change what he's doing. And you know what? This is the blessing of what he's doing right now. He's including all of us in that life that he's living as he's doing this. And he's given each one of us a role to play in that. You see, the way he designed you is not just so that you can look great or so that you can even just serve in Valley Brook. He's made you a certain way so you can connect to his eternal purposes, whether you're in Valley Brook or whether you're at home or whether you're on the street. He's designed you to be a part of his purpose. And he has included you in his life. He's doing that right now. You know, I wish we could grasp this, because, you know, when you think about how so many offers come our way to be a part of something bigger than yourself. Be a part of something bigger than yourself. You are a part of something bigger than yourself. You are a part of God's eternal purposes. You are, and he called you to participate with him in that life. And all you got to be is you. Because he's doing the work in you. That's the next thing. He's working in you. He's working in you, Dina. Philippians 2:13 tells us God is at work in you. But 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says the same thing. He's working in you. And he's doing it right now. But he's not just working in you, kind of yawning, you know, and just kind of half-heartedly. Ephesians 3:20 tells us how he's working in you. It says, now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that you would ask or imagine, that will blow your mind, according to what? According to the power that is at work in you. Not out there somewhere. according to the power that is at work in you. He's doing that. He's doing it right now. He's inspiring us to adore him and hunger for him. He's doing that right now. You think that you created your appetite? You think that you're the one who inspired you? He's the one who has inspired you and me to adore him and hunger for him. You know, when I talk about getting to know the Lord, it dawned on me that I'm thinking about one word that sort of captures all of that. Because we talk about getting to know the Lord. You know what the word is? Worship. It's worship. It's about recognizing how glorious he is. That's worship. It's about inviting his bigness into our lives. That's worship. And that's what he's doing with each one of us. He's inspiring worship. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He glorifies Jesus, the scripture says. He's inviting you. He's beckoning you and drawing you to a richer knowledge of himself. And, you know, we can ask the Lord to help us to see what he's doing. If this just sounds like jargon to you, if it sounds like religious talk, just stop. And say to the Lord, Lord, help me to see what you're doing. You'll be surprised at what he shows you. You'll be surprised because it may not be some ground-shaking big thing. It might be some small word that you pass on to someone else. And the Lord will open your eyes to see, that was me. And then again, it might be some huge thing because it's been that too. But he can help us to see and better appreciate what he's doing in us simply for the asking. Ask him. He's accompanying you everywhere you go, and he's with you everywhere you are. He's nurturing and sustaining your hope. He's working to make you supernaturally secure in him. You know God wants us to, Brian, you know God wants us to be secure. Do you know that God wants you to wake up not worried, not troubled? Do you know that? If you're waking up worried and troubled, that's not where God wants you to be. He says, don't worry. Be anxious for nothing. That's not where he wants you to be. In his heart of hearts, he wants you to be out of that swamp. And that's why he says that. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. He doesn't want you in that spot. So how does he get us out of it? Do you know how he gets us out of it? He wants us to be supernaturally secure in him. Now listen to this, because you might have read it on Friday. It's funny how he gets us there. You see, what dark clouds loom before you or hover above you right now? What dark clouds loom before you or hover above you? One of the greatest paradoxes of our spiritual journey is that the things that make us insecure or uncertain or unsettled, they are the same things that build our trust in him. The very same things. And it's our trust in him that makes us truly secure, even in the face of things that otherwise would make us insecure. Did you follow that? Let me read it again. One of the great paradoxes of our spiritual journey is the things that make us insecure or uncertain or unsettled, those same things are the ones that build our trust in him. And it's our trust in him that makes us truly secure, even in the face of things that otherwise would make us insecure. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. So where the Lord wants to take us to have this place of a worry-free life is to a place of trust. But the only way we get to a place of trust is by dealing with stuff that makes us insecure. And that's why James says, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. Not because the trials are fun. Not because, you know, this is a happy occasion. It's not call somebody up and say, boy, I'm having trials. What a lovely day this is. That's not what he's saying. He's saying recognize what those trials are producing. Recognize the love of God that is flowing to you in your consternation and in your distress. Recognize what he wants to build in you. Recognize what he wants to build between you and him through this. Because he wants to take you to a place where you are confident and certain. Like Paul said, I am convinced that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Now, how did he become convinced? Because there was a lot of stuff trying.
Yes.
He had a lot of opportunity to doubt it. And the Lord worked with the raw materials of those difficulties to forge a confidence that could not be shaken. That's how it works. That's the deal. 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrant knowledge of him. What is he doing right now? He is spreading the fragrance of Christ through you in every place right now. Not just on your good days. See, on our good days, we think that, yeah, who couldn't smell Jesus on me? On the days when we're stinking up the place, not so much. But you know how it is, what he's doing right now. Because sometimes from those stinking up the places, that's when we're most relatable to somebody else. Believe it or not, sometimes it's when your cheese is falling off your cracker, yeah, as one person put it, that the Lord is manifesting his fragrance through you the most. And on those other occasions when we think that we're doing so well and who couldn't smell Jesus on me, all they smell is something worse than Jesus.
Yeah.
We're not emitting the fragrance of Jesus. We're emitting self.
Yes.
We're emitting pride. We're emitting self-righteousness.
Yes.
But thanks be to God, because, see, God is always manifesting through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him. Thank you, Jesus. So when I sit and I absorb all that he's doing right now, it's overwhelming. And that's only the things that I'm aware of. He's doing so much more. I don't understand, and I told the Lord this, I don't understand why you have chosen to be so unfathomably generous with yourself to me. I don't understand it. But I've just given you a partial list. You could sit down and start thinking about all that he's doing right now, and it's overwhelming in a good way. You know, sometimes we say, why? Right? People have been throwing whys at God for a long time. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, Lord, the angel said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And then Gideon said, but sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian. Before Gideon, Moses said the same thing. The Lord said, I've sent you, Moses, to deliver your people, to deliver my people. And Moses said, well, Lord, if you've heard their voices, why haven't you answered? The Lord never gives a reason. He never says, well, this is why. He just says, go, I'm sending you now. Go, Gideon, in this your strength. And many times when we ask why, he doesn't give us an answer. He doesn't say, this is why. Sometimes graciously, in retrospect, we can see some things that indicate, oh, maybe that wouldn't have been a good thing. But the point that I want to make is this, is that the Lord's used to our whys. He's used to our fears. He's used to our objections. He's used to us digging our heels in. He's used to our complaining. He's used to the way that we react to his what he's doing now. He's used to that. How little we understand. How little we realize all that he's doing on our behalf. But our objections have not caused him to stop doing what he does. And that's a blessing. Because he is forever faithful. The scripture says his faithfulness reaches to the skies. And because of all he's done that has brought us here to this point in our relationship with him, it's because with our relationship with him that we were formerly unaware of. Mm-hmm. See, where you are today is because of what he has done.
Yes. Yes.
Where you are today in your desire, in your relationship with him, where you are in your life is because of what he has done. So it's only reasonable and right when we think about it, to thank him right now because he is laying the groundwork for where he's taking us right now. And just as there were times, as we look back, we don't know all of what he's done to get us here. So all of what's happening right here, we may not understand, but it's designed to take us to a glorious place beyond. And so we can give thanks to him for what is from that place. He is doing it. You may have to wait for your requests, but you don't have to wait for him to be faithful.
Hallelujah.
You're not waiting for him to be loving. You're not waiting for him to show up. He's doing it, and he's doing it now. You're the instrument. He's the craftsman.
Yeah.
So I exhort you, Valley Brook, as we move towards prayer, I exhort you, as David exhorted Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forever, because he's doing it, and he's doing it now.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So let's have the elders come up, if you wouldn't mind, and we're going to just take a moment to pray for you. So if you all could just stand up where you are, and the elders can come up. And I'd also like, see, Gary, would you mind coming up with us as well?